Hello, everybody. Welcome to this other episode of Valentine's Day. We are done with this. Is the last one for Valentine's Day horror. We will be revisiting stuff next year, so get prepared because there's a lot more Valentine's Day horror films than I have ever imagined. I thought there was very few, like the ones that I have listed. But as I researched a little bit more, I realized, yeah, there were a lot more than I would have expected, especially for Valentine's Day. However, Valentine's Day makes it a perfect time for horror or for killing, right? Because you always have the people who are out for revenge. Then you have the people who are heartbroken, which I guess is just all narrows down to out for revenge, right? Because that's exactly what we got on this one as well. My Bloody Valentine, 1981, the original version, because there was another one that came out, like, I think 2007, that we'll probably revisit next year to see the differences or see the equals, because I guess Hollywood didn't have any other way to make movies, so they're like, let's just remake a movie, like they've been doing recently. So we're going to talk about just the 1981 version. So if you watch the other one, you're going to be probably lost of what we're going to be discussing on this one. And if you did watch this one, well, this one was really fun. I honestly didn't think there was much horror into it. It was a good 1980s type of feel of the movie. Jokes, the type of scares per se, again, air quotes, scares per se, that it was leading on to. So without any more hesitation, and while we're going to get into it, let's go ahead and just get into it. So to kick it off, first things first, I know other worlds and a lot like in Europe and other worlds, I apologize, other countries and like in Europe and all, they're a little bit more liberal, like sexually per se, like they're more open about that. However, when I've watched a lot of the horror films from over there, they don't really dabble into this whole, like, hey, we're going to, like, have sex and then, oh, no, a horror, you know, like, something's happening kind of a thing. They just go straight to the point. We'll probably look a little bit more into it, but most of the ones that I have seen have really never really dabbled into all that nonsense. And, of course, here in the U.S., it's the number one thing in horror films. It's like, ooh, we're about to do it. We have sex. And then, oh, no, we're dead, right? And I feel like it's just like that whole, the only one who survives is like, it's the virgin, right? And so it's like this whole, type of genre that they wanted to have, or what's the word, the message, that they wanted to have for the kids. It's like, hey, if you're promiscuous or if you have sex before you're married, you'll get murdered, right? I believe that was their end game, right? Like, hey, don't do this. Even though on the other side, they're like, hey, be like this old guy in the Playboy Mansion. And I don't know, double standards a lot throughout the years, but that's where we always start off. So you see this, you know, they're about to get frisky. Luckily, it just ended up where the guy just went straight to murder. So obviously, we start off with the girl obviously knew who the guy was, and we obviously could have just guessed it was someone from the mind, because I don't think some random girl would have just gone into the mind with someone who was in a mask already. I believe she would have been like, who are you? I don't know who you are. I'm not going to go in here, right? So she already knew who the guy was. But we just get introduced to all the miners, and then we get introduced to the small little town, and they're going to have their first Valentine's dance for in the last 20 years. And I liked it. In the beginning, they kept it very discreet, like, hey, we don't want what happened 20 years ago to happen again. And you're like, well, what happened? You know, like, wanting to shake off, like, what happened? Tell me, you know, tell me what's going on. Why can't we, you know, why haven't you had a party for 20 years? And then finally we get the one person who tells it all, which happens to be the bartender, the guy who's feeding everybody their drinks. He straight out tells them, we shouldn't be having this this thing because of Henry Warden, you know. And he then goes and explains why Henry Warden went on a killing spree, right? Which makes a lot of sense. I'm going to be 100% honest. It's like the dude is working in the mine with everyone else. And the two people who are supposed to stay there and make sure everybody is safe out of the mine is like, well, screw this. We're going to go to the party. You guys are taking too long. Which then obviously breaks everything that works for that, the whole, you know, like, safety part of working in a mine. But I guess back in the 80s, they didn't have that, with the OSHA, right? Who does that, like, operational, the ones who do the safety. And so they just left them. And so we get these miners who were just kind of caught, you know, in a bad situation. And it took everybody a while to finally get him out. And Henry Warden was the one who kind of went crazy. Like, in order for him to survive, he was eating the other people who had died. But we don't know if they had died prior or he had killed them to eat them. We don't know. It's just all of a sudden you just see him eating a foot. And then they just put him in a, you know, in a loony bin. And then a year later on Valentine's Day, again, the town having a party, like, first thing they're like, hey, we had this party, this tragedy happened, oh, that sucks. Year later, we're still gonna have a party. Well, now he comes back for revenge and he goes in to kill whoever was in charge of the of keeping them safe, right? Whoever was in the outside of the cave. And so he just went, killed everybody. And I so far you see him like kill one person, and I think the story really didn't generalize how many people he killed. But so far I saw, like, at least in the view, they're like, well, he killed the two people he went, and then he killed whoever wasn't, like, in his way. So I believe he killed more than, like, five people, right? And, well, he ended up getting caught anyway, and then they put him, again, instead of, like, a prison, because he was, I guess, pronounced crazy, they put him into, again, the loony bin, right? They're, like, he's now stuck there for the rest of his life. And so there goes the story. And then you get the youth of that time, which is probably, if anybody were to tell any of the 30-year-olds now, like, some story like that in the town, we'd probably be like, yeah, right, bro. Yeah, right. Calm down, right? And I think it was the same thing. So they're like, yeah, right. It's just a ghost story. But again, I was reading a post the other day, and it says, like, in horror films, the number one thing is you listen to the locals, right? The local who tells you, hey, you shouldn't go there, or, ooh, why are you going in that house? Like, all these bad things happen, you know, beware. They're probably giving you a great warning. Like, they're not just, you know, BSing you or telling you this just to kind of scare you. They're actually warning you, like, hey, like, even us locals don't go there. Probably you shouldn't, you know, unless it's the same people in, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They're all connected. So whatever they tell you, like, keep going forward, like, don't pay attention to them. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we're going to get there in our summer edition. I believe we're getting to the old ones. But anyway, on this one, he gives them the warning, right? So we get to this point of, is it a ghost story? Or is it an actual warning, right? Because, you know, it happened 20 years ago. So the guy actually got locked up. I don't think, like, he would just be able to escape and show up again. So you get this whole kind of, like, everybody being like, yeah, that's what happened before, right? Well, it looks like he came back for a vengeance, right? Because he started killing. First, he killed the girl at the beginning, right? And cut out the heart and sent it to the mayor, and as well as the chief, as they call him, or the sheriff. And so now they're worried, like, oh, no, shoot. Henry Warden is back. And I think it's funny that they just immediately were like, Henry Warden, and just leave it like it's actually him believing the ghost story. Like, they could have been like, is it really him? Like, I know he was locked up, which the chief does really well trying to figure out, hey, what's going on? Like, he calls the people. Is he there? You know, he wants to verify if he's there. And again, this is back, I think the 80s. So I know the paperwork, and they didn't have computers that were filing all their stuff. So they had to just call everybody with whatever files they had. And unfortunately, they called someone who didn't have any information other than if they had to go and actually look for it, which I was glad that the sheriff at least told the lady, was like, well, then get it. You know, like, hey, it's your job to look for these things. Like, we're a cop, we're a police station. Do your damn job, right? And so I'm glad the lady actually, you know, was like, fine. You know, like, she ended up doing it, but we don't find out about that later. So now him and the mayor decide to keep it a secret and not tell anybody, and hopefully, like, nothing else bad happens. Even though there's already a murder, there's a heart right there. So I feel like they should have already, like, announced, like, hey, we shouldn't do this, there's a killer. I believe if they would have been more open with these idiotic youth at that time, right? And I believe it would have been like, oh, shoot, there is someone dead. Maybe we shouldn't do it. But because they really didn't say anything, I think that's what led to what happened, right? The kids wanted a party anyway. They wanted to have the dance, and so they were going to have it one way or another, whether it was the official dance or it was a hidden party, right? Now, for anybody who works in like the police station, or like is a cop, or does anything with like the coroner, or has done autopsies, so any medical people, is there a way that you can tell that a heart belongs either to a male or a female? Because straight out, they take the heart to whoever the examiner is, and they're like, hey, look, we found a heart. And he straight out like did his study and whatever he did, and came out and be like, yep, this belonged to a young woman. And I was like, how do you know? Is it just the kind of like the shape of it? Is it because men need to have a bigger heart to pump because we work in like construction? Not all guys, because I don't do construction. I'm an IT person. No way you're gonna see me doing construction. I do work at my house, but I'm not gonna do that. But I'm just saying, in the anatomy, if it comes for males and females, is our hearts just a specific size, and is that how they can tell? Because what if a guy is, you know, you get a baby that's born, the boy, he grows up, but he has almost the same size of heart as the heart that was shown. Would they consider him a female, even though it was for a guy? So that's what I, like, is there a way you can tell that? Because without much information, I feel like it's just like, oh, look, we have a heart of a dead person. Leave it to that, like a dead man or female, a dead John or Jane Doe, right? But the fact that he straight out went to that, I'm not sure if that's true. And if it is, you know, leave me a comment and be like, hey, yeah, this is how we do it, and let me know, because that would be really cool. That they're able to find to really let us to really determine what we are by our anatomy, right? So that, I think that's pretty cool. So now more killings happen. Unfortunately, I think the sad killing out of all, because I really didn't care about the youth getting killed later on. But the sad one was the lady who was so excited for the party. Like, she 20 years had passed. She did a lot of decorating. Like, I give her props. That was the town looked really nice, and she's the first one who gets killed. Well, no, the second one per se to get killed. And that was the sad part, because not only did she get stabbed, she got thrown into the dryer and then, like, burned, which was really sad. But I was like, oh man, not her. She was just organizing it. You know, like if the sheriff or the chief would have arrived and told her, hey, we can't do this for this reason, like there's an actual murder, she probably would have understood, like, oh yeah, we can't have this again. But it's like the killer was just like, nope, she created it. She's gonna die, you know? And so she ends up dying anyway. And so that was the sad part. But now the chief and the mayor are like, oh wait, we can't have this. We can't be having this party anymore. And so they cancel it. But again, like I said, they didn't explain it to the youth, like, hey, this is what's happening. We got to be careful. We've already had, you know, 2 deaths and we don't want any more in our hands. They're like, no, it's just canceled and it's canceled. That's it. So what are the people going to do? They're going to find a way that they can have their party. It's exactly like Footloose, except Footloose didn't have people dying. They just wanted to dance. And so what did they do? They found an empty warehouse outside of the city limits that allowed them to be able to dance, right? And so this one, it was kind of the same. They didn't find it outside of the city limits, but they just found a way to sneak in their little party. And then one by one, a lot of them were starting to get killed very easily, like without a struggle. They were just there, and then it happened. Nobody even noticed until later on. And so I just, again, these people weren't really proactive. And I talked about this in the last episode, right? You have all your buddies there, and you're all wanting to hang out, and all of a sudden one's gone for 10 to 15 minutes and it's not a potty break, it's nothing like that, and you're like, hey, where's Jim? No, this one, it's like, Johnny's gone, we don't know where he's at, we're gonna keep partying and laughing. And all of a sudden, it's not until like they find a body, they're like, oh, he was here the whole time, he's dead. And it's like, did you guys really even care about your friends? You know, you know, like, you just sat there those whole time, not even worried about, like, his whereabouts. And especially this one that was like, oh, yeah, I really like the guy. And she must have been like, hey, where is he? Where did he go? And nope, nothing, right? Nothing at all. So that's how you can tell that their dynamic back then was like, we really love our friends, but really don't care where they're at. And maybe just I'm just too clingy of a friend, because I at least I'm very attentive. That's the word I was looking at this whole time. Very attentive of like where they're at. Like if they're gonna leave, I just at least want to know where they're going. Maybe I just grew up in a way that I just want to make sure everyone's safe, and so I just always want to make sure, like, hey, where are you going? Oh, I'm going here. Cool. And if it's been like a while, I'm going to be like, where he at or where she at? You know, like kind of just making sure that they're safe. Well, anyway, they didn't do that. They really didn't care. And it wasn't until 2 people were found dead, the girl and this other dude, that now they're panicking. And they're like, oh my gosh, there's an actual killer. And of course, everybody's like, Henry Warden's here. Oh no. Oh no. And so now they start freaking out. Now, the one person who was going to help him out is the one that was being ridiculed the whole time in this whole movie. So, anybody who was born in the 80s or earlier, so because this is in 1981, so we're talking about, like, if he was an adult, he was born probably, like, late 60s, early 70s, and he left his hometown and then came back, and everyone just hates on him for leaving. What's with that dynamic? It's not just this horror film that talks about it. There's a lot of movies, whether it's horror film, romantic comedies, romance movies, or any movie per se, drama or anything like that. There's always a dynamic that the person who leaves their hometown and comes back is ridiculed for leaving. Right? Like, oh, look, he left the big city and now he's back. And, you know, we don't want him here. Why was that dynamic done back in those days? Was it just because, like, everybody who grows up in your town has to stay in your town and you follow your father's footsteps? Like, if he's the lumberjack, you're going to become a lumberjack. Or if he's the one who's doing this, he's going to, you know, like, you're just going to take over the business. Was that the dynamic of it, or was it also the whole, like, nobody leaves this town, we're all losers, we either die here kind of a thing? You know, I just want to know why that dynamic was there, because coming from someone who finally has left his hometown, I feel like if I were to go back and someone's like, man, you left, and like, how dare you? I would have been like, so what? Like, why didn't you leave, you know? But most of the people that I've known from high school, a lot of them have stayed in Utah, and the other people have actually kind of branched out and gone different places, and that's great for them. Like, I don't know why. Like, maybe it's just our generation now, as born in the 90s, so what we call ourselves millennials. We're just like, good job, dude. Like, awesome. You were able to get out, while back in the days, it's like you were a loser for leaving your hometown, right? And maybe he was just considered a loser because he came back, but he didn't seem like he was off to a wrong start. Like, he went over there, just didn't work out, came back. Like, at least he tried, you know? Anyway, everybody was jealous. So if you could tell me why that dynamic was happening, I would love to know why that was it, right? And so luckily now the killing is happening, and they're figuring out, they're finally sending, you know, heading off to tell the chief that this is what they did. They had a hidden party, and now there's, you know, two people dead, and you got to go save them. But before he was actually told what was going on or what was going to happen, he at least received a call. But we don't get to know what that call is about until later on. And so before we finish this off, we're going to find out exactly what that call was about. But let's go on a little break, and then we'll talk about how the cop, like what the call was about to the chief, if the call was something important, and then find out who the actual killer was. So let's go ahead and take a little break. All right, and we're back. All right, so we get this dynamic of a group that's like, hey, girls, let's go show you what we do in our real life, and it's going to be super fun. Let's go into the caves. Oh, or the mines, I apologize. And so now they're there, and so the boy that's out of town has to go with the other boy who took his girlfriend that he left behind. And they had to go and try to save them. And one by one, they start getting killed off. Again, the one couple branches off from the group because they want to, you know, they want to have sex. And they end up getting impaled onto each other. Again, what's the agenda? That's the word I wanted to start at the beginning. The agenda back in those days is if you have premarital sex, you're going to get murdered, right? And so that exactly happened to them. They arrive there. They see that there. They get murdered, and then all the other people start getting killed off little by little until the end, where you see now the out-of-town boy protecting his ex-girlfriend, who is the love of his life, so his actual girlfriend, I guess, now, depending on what they decide after. And so now they're fighting off the killer, and the killer's coming out to murder them and get them, you know, get his revenge on them too. And all of a sudden, as they're, you know, trying to fight for their lives and battle the one in the mask, you know, the miner in the mask, they're able to unmask him, and it ends up being the boyfriend that she traded off her ex boyfriend for, right? Like she was dating this guy because the ex-boyfriend went out of town went, you know, away from the hometown, and so she was dating this guy. Ends up being that guy. He's the killer. So if right now if you're like, oh my gosh, he's the killer, well, hopefully you had watched this before, because if not, if you're not much of a fan of a horror film and you're like, I'm just gonna listen to what he says, just know that yeah, he ended up being the killer. And it the cool part about it is that when they find out that he's the killer, a collapse happens and it collapses on him, and you know, oh, he's dead. And they tell the chief, hey, chief, it's, you know, this dude. And I'm sorry, when I write my notes, I forget to write names. So I'm going to start doing that later on. But yeah, they tell the chief straight out, like, hey, this guy was a killer. And he's like, oh, yeah, because I got a call. And they said that Henry Warden had died 5 years ago. And then they just kind of reminisce, like, oh, he's the killer? Because when one of the people that were taking care, that left the miners to go to the party 20 years ago, a year later, when he got killed by Henry Warden for leaving his post, ends up being the one who gets killed by Harry Warden. And under the bed is the son who watches the killer kill the dad. And then the guy leaves. And so then that's what he keeps in his mind. And then the cheesiest ending ever, because when he got crushed, he rips out his arm, right? So I don't know how he's going to survive. But then he's like, he tells, I think the girl's name is Cindy, but he's just like, Cindy, will you be my bloody Valentine? And I was like, oh, come on. You didn't have to add that into the script. Like, that was the cheesiest way. But I don't think he's going to survive. There's no way. He ripped out his arm. He's going to die getting out of the mine. But that's what horror films kind of do. They make whoever the killer is, like, invincible somehow. So somehow he's going to come back. But again, the 2007 version is not him coming back. It's like a re-imaged or remastered version of what it is, or just a version that they created and just switched the story a bit. But that's how it is. That's the end of this one. This one was very to the point. It wasn't as scary. It was actually honestly like Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That was one of the episodes that I had earlier this year, I believe. If I know my schedule correctly, Killer Clowns from Outer Space was actually the first episode of season 2, and we talked about how the jokes were, and the dialogue and the acting, and this just followed the same dynamic, except now we're not dealing with clowns, we're dealing with an actual killer. And then the killer ended up being the one that no one ever suspected, and somehow he survives and then says the cheesiest line ever to close off what the movie was. So that way, in case you were watching this movie and you didn't know what the title was, they're like, oh, by the way, it's in the script. Ooh, oh my gosh. Cheesiest shit ever. But yeah, that's basically it. So My Bloody Valentine, was it fun to watch? Yeah, it was entertaining. Was it scary? Not a bit. Not even close. And would I watch it again? Probably not. It wouldn't be one that I'm going to be like, I want to watch My Bloody Valentine. It's not one. It's a 2017 version, and Chapter 2, I would. And even 1990s version, I would watch again. Killer Clown, if I have nothing else to watch, I would watch that one again. It was really fun. But yeah, this one, not one of my top. And I honestly wouldn't recommend anybody to watch it unless you just want to see the cheesiest of an 80s horror film and not be scared at all. But other than that, I hope you guys enjoyed it. And stay tuned for a wonderful and special St. Patrick's Day, where we'll be looking in on Leprechaun. Ooh, we're going to be talking about that. So I hope you guys enjoy your St. Patrick's Day, and see you guys next time.